To me, all the firstborn, whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both man and beast, it is mine. And Moses said to the people, remember this day in which you went out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out of this place. No leavened bread shall be eaten. On this day you are going out in the month of Abib, and it shall be when the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, and the Amorites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, which he swore to your fathers to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey, that you shall keep this service in this month. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day there shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and no leavened bread shall be seen among you, nor shall leaven be seen among you in all your quarters. And you shall tell your son in that day, saying, this is done because of what the Lord did for me when I came up from Egypt. It shall be a sign to you on your hand, and as a memorial between your eyes, that the Lord's law may be in your mouth. For with a strong hand the Lord has brought you out of Egypt. You shall therefore keep this ordinance in its season from year to year. And it shall be when the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, as he swore to you and your fathers, and gives it to you, that you shall set apart to the Lord all that open the womb, that is, every firstborn that comes from an animal which you have, the males shall be the Lord's. But every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. And if you will not redeem it, then you shall break its neck. And all the firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. So it shall be, when your sons ask you in time coming, saying, what is this? That you shall say to him, by strength of hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh was stubborn, letting us go, that the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore, I sacrifice to the Lord all males that open the womb, but all the firstborn of my sons I redeem. It shall be as a sign to you, a sign on your hand, and as frontlets between your eyes. For by strength of hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt. Just that far in the reading of the word. May that word be living streams of living waters in us today. Let's go before the throne of grace once again. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you in worship and as we have heard your word and sung your praise, we now would listen to one of your servants. And we pray that you might take the stupor of celebration off our minds, the anxiety of that which is coming in the week ahead away from our thinking, that your Spirit might open our eyes, our ears, and our hearts to the word of the living God, that we may honor you. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, this is a bit of active participation, please. This is not rhetorical questions. December 7th, 1941 is a date that lives in infamy. What happened on that date? Pearl Harbor. Japan attacked it and World War II unfolded. It was a day that changed the world and made a big impact for a very long time. July 2nd, 1776. The Declaration of Independence. December 25th, year zero, we all know that date. We just celebrated. October 31st, 1517. What? Luther posts a 95 thesis. Reformation begins in earnest. November 9th, 1989. Nope, the Berlin Wall came down. Tiananmen Square, I didn't have that date, but that's a big one too. July 28th, 1914. World War I begins. We don't know the month or the day, but there was a month and a day in 1440 that was a big day. 1440. What did you say? Nope, that's close, but the printing press changed the world. Movable type absolutely changed the world. June 1348, not sure of the exact date, but one of the big plagues started in 1348 in England. January 30th, 1933. The what? 1930, well, it could be that, but that was the day Hitler was appointed chancellor. August 6th, 1945. Hiroshima, September 11th, 2001, 8:46 a.m. First tower went down. So what? Pastor, aren't you supposed to be preaching the word? Okay, Exodus 13:3. Remember this day. God says to his people, memorialize it. And as we read further on, year after year, memorialize this day. The Word of God makes mention of specific dates, and the Lord encourages His people to remember them. And constantly in the Bible, He is telling His people, remember. Not just the fourth commandment, but over and over again, He's telling them, remember the mighty hand of God. See, Passover night was a day to remember. We read it here. Every firstborn creature in Egypt, not covered by the blood, died on that night. Well, we begin 2017 on the first day of the week, the first worship service of the year, and there is so much unknown ahead of us. What will we remember about 2017? I want us to consider five things this morning. The command to remember, the subject to remember, the Almighty to remember, the duty and the dates to remember. This is, first of all, a command. I remind you in verse 1, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, and Moses spoke to the people, verse 3. This is God's word. This is the word of the living God. What God says should matter to us a great deal. All the problems in all the world really come down to this. Thus says the Lord, and either people listened or they didn't. Thus says the Lord 420 times in the Bible. There's lots to remember. So what did Yahweh do? He wrote it down for us because he knows that it's hard for us to remember all of these things. Wrote it down so that we could pass it on. Here's what the Lord said, as we read in this passage itself. Your sons will say to you, why are you doing this? Why do we keep this tradition? At some point our children will ask those questions. When they're very young, they don't normally ask those questions. They just enjoy the moment. But there comes a time when they say, why are we doing this? Where does this come from? God's word to Moses was to be passed on. God speaks in creation. Now the specifics are not detailed for us. We don't know the exact date, if you will, a time of let there be light. But human beings know a great deal about their maker by the things that are made. Romans 1:19. We know a great deal about this one who spoke by the things that he spoke into being. And brothers and sisters, only the most foolish of minds, the greatest of minds, cannot deny nothing from nothing equals nothing. Nothing from nothing is impossible. One of the greatest miracles, if you will, of all creation is that there is anything rather than nothing at all. But God needed to be specific as well. And he specifically gave to Adam a word, did he not? In Genesis 2. Of all the trees you may eat, but of this tree you may not. That is the revealed will of God. And that revealed will of God is found in his word. Here is what man is to believe about God. Here is what man is to do concerning about what he is to believe. And the Ten Commandments are an overall outline of a godly life. But those are not the only things. Do you know that the New Testament, somebody did a chart of this. In fact, I downloaded the PDF. If anybody wants to see this chart, it was pretty amazing. But do you know that there are over 1,000 things that the Christians in the New Testament are to heed? There are over 1,000 things. There are 70 B's. Be exceedingly glad. Be perfect. Be transformed. Be tender-hearted. Be doers of the word. There are over 74 of those B's. There are 30 be nots. Be not afraid. Be not confirmed. Be not partakers. That's the passage about be not partakers of sin with the sinners in this world. Be not unequally yoked. There are over 30 of those be nots. There are 6 honors. Honor your fathers. Honor your mothers. Honor others. Honor widows. And honor all people. And finally, honor rulers, those who rule over us, and so much more. There are 4 believes. Believe in God, Hebrews 11:6. Believe the gospel, Mark 1:15. Believe on Jesus Christ, 1 John 3:23. Believe that God rewards, Hebrews 11:6. So there's all these things that the Bible tells us we are to do. We are to be. We are to think. And God is very clear about his word. In Exodus 19, verse 5, he says, if you will indeed obey my voice, and he says, you will be a special treasure to me. If you will indeed heed the word of God, you will be a special people to me. And then we have this text. Remember this day. Call it to mind. Tell your kids about it. In fact, he lays out in the verses that follow, verse 3, celebrate this day with a feast, with a religious service. Remember it. We are commanded to remember because we are an absent-minded people. We tend to get busy with our lives. And the tyranny of the urgent pushes out the past. And God has given us his word, and that word is to be preached. It is to be written. It is to be portable. It is to be studied. And whatever it is that God has said, we are to hear it. We are to hide it in our hearts. We are to heed it in our lives. Most of all, if you will, whatever it is that God has said, we are to obey. We are to remember these things. And here we are on the beginning of a new year and we remember a year gone by, what will we remember a year from now? What is the subject that God here tells them to remember? This day in which you went out of Egypt. He is telling his people to remember their deliverance from the bondage of slavery, 400 years exiled into another land, if you will. You understand, folks, that there once was a night, one night, when there was a death in every home in the land that was not covered by the blood. There was a death. If it wasn't a child, it was the firstborn of any animal they had in that household. If you were born shortly before 9/11 or shortly beyond 9/11, you have no idea what that day was like. You might have seen a video, you might have watched a YouTube of the towers or whatever, but it is history. And some of us know right where we were standing and to whom we were speaking at 8:46 a.m. on that day. We know. I had just said to my daughter, because she had called us in, my friend and I, from the backyard, and said, "Daddy, I think you need to see this." And we were standing in front of the TV, and my daughter said to me, "Daddy, one of the Twin Towers just fell." And I said, "Kadra, that's impossible." And the next tower fell. And we watched it on TV. But we know right where we were. Passover, brothers and sisters, was not an act of war. Passover was not a natural disaster. It was the way that God delivered his people from slavery. It was the way that God delivered his people from the bondage that they were in. In Exodus 13:14, "So it shall be when your sons ask you, 'What is this? Why are we doing this way?' that you will recount the story. And you will explain why we do this every year. We will pass on this story." If it wasn't for the internet, brothers and sisters, you would be very hard-pressed to see a video of the towers being hit or falling. Because the press had colluded. "We're going to take this off the air. We're not going to publish this over and over again." Do you remember a major network recounting these things in the recent past? Only one network did that, by the way. Fox. All the other networks said, "No, we're not going to show this anymore." You have to go to the internet to find videos of those things happening. But brothers and sisters, there's a sense in which we ought to say we should never forget. Is that not true? The Holocaust. And all the Holocaust deniers. No, so there's a place you can go in Germany. On the real site where these things really happened. So we built a memorial in the middle of New York City to remind people what happened there on that day. Brothers and sisters, the gospel is not something we live through. We did not see these events. But the history of redemption is a story that must be told to every generation. And it must be recounted and explained. Why do we have a Christmas? Why is there an Easter? What are we celebrating? We are celebrating who Jesus is and what Jesus did and how Jesus did it and why Jesus did it. And we are to remember that. We are to recount it. Because it is an Almighty that we remember. "For by strength of hand," verse 3 again, By strength of hand, the Lord brought you out. Brothers and sisters, God has made himself known in a powerful and mighty way. And for us, the Passover is ancient, ancient history. And yet it is to be recalled, to be recounted. Why? Well, the psalmist sings in Psalm 67, verse 2, that your way may be known on the earth and your salvation among all nations. We are to publish that, to proclaim that. God expects his children to tell others about him, and to tell others about the former times of miraculous revelation. Those times have given way to proclamation. God doesn't do, hasn't done for thousands of years now, magnificent, marvelous, extraordinary, visible miracles, miraculous things. He hasn't done that. But what has he done? He's taken the preaching of that word, the remembering of those events, the recounting of those events, and changed the world, one heart at a time, most of the time. The gospel is storytelling. It's a true story. It's a real story. How the Almighty God, the Holy God, rescues sinners from the bondage of sin. You can be free from that. Here's how he did it. Baby was born. That baby grew up. And shepherds and angels sing. And what do they sing? They sing to these shepherds. And Luke 2 verse 17 tells us, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. These shepherds became preachers. God is. And God has spoken. And the mighty acts of God are to be recounted. We are to not just relegate the story of Noah to a Sunday school lesson for little kids. We are to remember it. We are to recount it. The Passover really happened. It's not just a Hanukkah celebration, a Passover celebration. We are to remember these are actual events that actually happened for a reason. And we are to recount not only the acts of God, but the mercy of God. Psalm 130, verse 7. With him is abundant redemption. We are to recount that redemption. The one who speaks is the living God who is. And Isaiah 63, 1 says, he is mighty to save. This God who speaks, speaks for a reason. He is the Almighty God. We are to remember that. In fact, he goes so far as to say it should be a duty to remember. Isn't it interesting that verse 3 ends with this? No leavened bread shall be eaten. This is the beginning of a religious service. Right after he says, don't forget what God has done, he says, here's a service to help you remember. It's exactly what we're going to do. Verses 5 through 16 are all about an annual celebration. Here is the way this is to be done. Verse 10, therefore you shall keep this ordinance in its season from year to year to year. By the way, that's an ecclesiastical calendar. Oh, you might say, that was Old Testament, Pastor. Yeah, okay. What did Jesus say? We're going to read it in just a minute. Verse 1 Corinthians 11, 26. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim his death until he comes. As often as you do it. When did the Lord say that, by the way? On Passover night. Because he was keeping the Passover. And this is the new covenant in his blood. And it is to be celebrated often. Every Lord's Day we gather to sing and to pray and to rejoice and to hear about what? The story of redemption. Yes, some different aspect of it, a different place in the text, a different particular thing to be focused on, but it's still that message. And it is our reasonable service. Romans 12:1, present your bodies a living sacrifice. And the best way that we serve the Lord, brothers and sisters, is to do what the Lord says to do. And so what has the church done? The church says, the Lord said to celebrate this remembrance. Often. Well, the church has debated whether that should be once a year, once a month, every week. In some traditions, every day, they celebrate this remembrance. But we are to love God, love others, do something about it, that is to show that we remember. Out of love for what God has done for us, we think about, we pray about, and we act in a way that tries to redeem others. That's the whole gospel message. What dates should we remember? Well, in verse 4 it says, on this day you are going out in the month of Abib. That's a pretty specific date. Now, there's some biblical scholar debate about exactly when that day was, but it's a pretty specific date. And the Passover, we can come down to a pretty specific, very close date when this happened. The history is there. Is God ever that specific in other places? Genesis 7, verse 11. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, on that day, all the fountains of the deep were opened up. The windows were broken, the heavens were opened. On that day, by the way, on that day appears 37 times in the Bible. Now, no, again, we don't know the exact date of the flood, but there's even some debate about that. Is there a date that you can get pretty close to? Well, God was pretty specific here. If we can know exactly when Noah was born, the 600th year of his life, the second month, 17th day, we can get pretty close to when the flood was. Right? Yes, brothers and sisters, we ought to be careful because we don't know the date. God does. He knows exactly which day he was referring to. There was a day when the rain started, just like there was a day when Christ was born, and a day when Christ rose again. We ought to be careful with how we deal with dates. There are some dangers to avoid. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 10. Do not say, why were the former days better than these? For you do not inquire wisely concerning this. Can you get caught up in the past? You can get caught up in the past. In a bad way and in a good way. You can get so caught up in the past that you miss the present that God has put you in on the way to the future that God has planned for you. So you have to be careful with those things. You have to be careful with tomorrow. Proverbs 27:1. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. You got plans for tomorrow? I have plans for tomorrow. Three o'clock in the afternoon tomorrow may be very different from the plan you have for right now. But we should remember Psalm 31, verse 15. My times are in your hands. Yes, prepare the horse for battle. Go about making your plans. But don't worry about tomorrow, because worrying about tomorrow wastes today. And so go about doing those things and trust that the Lord will carry out those times as He sees fit. Why should we not worry so much about the past and about the future? Matthew 6, verse 34, the NAS says, each day has trouble enough of its own. Isn't that true? Don't we all find that? We have those plans and then, oh, here the car breaks down, the tire's flat, whatever, and you know, all our plans get upset. Well, each day has its own stuff to worry about. There's plenty for you to do tomorrow, one day at a time. And walk worthy is impossible if we're not going to follow in His steps. I still like the idea of 1 minute Christian living. What should I be doing this minute? That's the best way to live our Christian lives. Yes, what would Jesus want me to be doing right this minute? That'll keep us from a lot of stuff. And that'll direct us into a lot of good paths. Do we do it? No, we fail often. We tell ourselves, I should do what Jesus wants me to do right now. Yeah, maybe I should just go over. What did I just say to myself? We all struggle with that because we're all sinners in this fallen flesh. But we ought to worry about today. There are some major marks to time. Brothers and sisters, we don't know what it was, but there was a creation day. There was a moment when God said, let there be light, and it all started. There was a flood day. There was a Passover day. There was a crucifixion day. And a few hours later, there was a resurrection day. Genesis 2, verse 4. This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made. Wouldn't you love to have been there? Wouldn't you love to have seen all of that unfold? I think we all would have in some way. Some days live in infamy. I wasn't born when Pearl Harbor was bombed. But I remember my father sitting me down in front of a television saying, you need to watch this event because this event changed history. It was when JFK was assassinated. He said, you need to remember this day. I remember my dad doing the same thing with the moon landing. I still don't think we actually went there. No, I'm kidding. I remember him sitting us down saying, you need to watch this happen. This is a big thing. There are days like that. And there are other days that we're glad they're over, aren't they? Aren't we? There are certain days that bring great joy and great celebration, as they should. Psalm 118, verse 24. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. That'll be the best day of your life. Why is all of that important? Because Acts 17, verse 31, He has appointed a day on which He will judge the world in righteousness. There is coming a day, a judgment day. Maybe a very long day, much longer than 24 hours probably. But it is a day that's coming. We don't know that date either. But God has indeed said there is a day. We should remember that. Don't we sing that? One day He's coming. Glorious day. And here we are. On the doorstep of a brand new year, we have plans to finish education. We have plans to start this new endeavor. January 1st, 2017. What will you remember? Remember this day. The Lord has plans for you, brothers and sisters. Plans for your good, not evil. Plans even that might include, as that hymn just sang, a needful tear. Those are all good plans. Let's pray.